Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we discuss the late pick five at Gulfstream on Saturday, January 25th, 2025. This is show number 307, January 24th, 2025. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmie. Chris, spectacular card for us tomorrow.
Yeah, they really stacked it from top to bottom with competitive races and pretty high class races, especially this late pick five.
And we have a special returning guest. He won the NHC $800,000 and an Eclipse Award in 2017. He also finished third in the NHC in 2019, and he's in the Horse Players Hall of Fame. He's Ray Arsenal. Welcome back, Ray.
Thanks, guys, for having me. It's always a fun time to do this Pegasus Day, so I'm looking forward to having you guys get me some winners so I can win this contest and qualify for the NHC.
Hey, I think it was last year or the year before you gave out a couple of winners, and so we're hoping you will give as well. Hopefully we can all give to our listeners.
That'd be great.
Well, Chris, do you have a question for Ray?
No, I was just going to say, if it might only take one winner to have a good day on this sequence. Some of these races could produce some big prices.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a tough sequence, I think. I think it's a tough sequence. I'm looking for some clarity from you two gentlemen, and hopefully I'll be able to provide a little clarity myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping for the bulk of the clarity from you guys, because this is a tough sequence.
It's very tough. And the other thing, Scott, is that the weather down here this past week has been pretty, really bad. It's rained pretty well the last 4 days. Today, a little more cloudy than rain, but a few drizzles. And they haven't been on the turf all week. And as you can see for tomorrow's card, I think they listed at least 7 or 8 turf races. So keeping our fingers crossed that they're talking about abundant sunshine tomorrow. And hopefully the turf will be fine for all the races.
So what are the chances you think it'll be good or yielding?
Yeah, I think more to good probably, but this turf here that they put down, they just redid it over the summer. It looks like it's not a thick base, so it would probably be good. And hopefully, if they didn't get a lot today, we got a lot the last 3 days. But if it's okay today and tomorrow, which is supposed to be brilliant sunshine, it hopefully might be firm, but I don't know. And I'm worried more early races because they'll be the ones that come off. The later ones that we're going to discuss won't come off regardless, but I think some of the early ones might. And the main track will definitely be fast, and usually they set it up for speed, so we'll have to see how the first race plays out on the main Tepita is another story. Not my thing, but we have to play it since it's part of the sequence.
It's a mystery is what it is.
Oh, no, actually, we don't have it on the sequence. So, I mean, there's definitely some synth races earlier in the card, but...
Oh, we don't? Oh, shit. Turf
and dirt.
Okay. Just turf and dirt. Sorry. Well, then that's great. Earlier in the card, there was two that I looked at. Then, you know, I'm not sure if I'll play them, but yeah, that's great. Turf and dirt. So that's a good combo.
All right. Well... the first race is going to be a turf race, a mile and a half turf race at that. The William L. McKnight Stakes, grade 3, purse of $215,000 for four-year-olds and up. And Ray is our guest. We'd love to have you get started. Get us started.
Okay, well, it's looking a little chalky to me here in this race. So my top pick is going to be number 1, Limited Liability. He's 13 of 18 in the money, and he's actually 3 for 3 going long, but has yet to win on the long. He's had a second and 2/3. His two last two races prior to the break were very good. Dettori rode him his last two races, and he knows how to handle this one. I think it'll sit the perfect trip and be forwardly placed. And the horse to beat him in the last, you look down the road, one of the races we're going to be doing, the Pegasus Turf Integration, is in that one going for $1 million. So number 1 is my pick. I know the Appleby horse will be tough, but I'd rather have the 1 hole than the 11 hole. And, you know, if he sets up like he has the last two starts, he should come along good.
And he won a $440,000 race going 2 miles and a 16th at Kentucky Downs on the lead. So he could have the lead in this race. Chris, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's had a little rivalry going with the Gray Wizard. That's who he beat in that race, and he had lost to him 2 times prior to that, all and they at 3 different tracks. So he's probably glad the Gray Wizard isn't in this race. But I agree with Ray. He seems like a notch above the American horses. And to me, Bold Act, the horse he mentioned, the Appleby horse, probably a notch better than he is. But they're going to be the heavy favorite and second choice. And I don't think they're invincible, but they're probably, this could end up chalking out. Wouldn't be shocked. It's interesting that Appleby is in this race. He's never been to Gulfstream. He's never run anything in the U.S. this early in the year. He's usually just running them in Maidan because, you know, he has all Godolphin horses. So it's kind of interesting that he brought horses here, and it'll be interesting to see how they run. Certainly when he teams up with William Buick, they're hard to beat. So I think that horse is a deserving favorite, but it's a 2-turn or 3-turn route race with a bunch of horses, so anything could happen. Limited Liability is probably his main threat, but again, I don't think he's a price play. So I'm going to, from a betting standpoint, I kind of like the horse just inside of Bold Act, the 10 Utah Beach, who is by English Channel, and in these, you know, marathon turfers, I love the English Channels, especially as they get older. They usually don't peak until like they're even 6 or 7 sometimes. So he's kind of probably not peaked yet as a newly turned 5-year-old. He's probably not even close to his peak yet. I thought his last race, even though he got beat by the long shot, it was kind of a weird race. It was 2 miles, which is a little longer than any. Most U.S. riders don't ride 2-mile races. And this was a weird, even more so, because it had kind of a runoff leader. And I just think Gaffleon moved too soon. He got the lead, and then he just got nipped at the wire. But I think he ran a good race there. Race before that, he was clearly not as good as Bold Act, so he's going to need some race. He's going to have a better trip than Bold Act probably to beat that one. But of the rest of the horses in the field, I like him the best. And if I could get 10-1 on the morning line or something close to that, he'd be playable. So I will go with 10 Utah Beach. But if I were to bet this, I would probably have Exactas underneath Bold Act and Limited Liability if I played the race, because I do think those two are kind of better than the others. And there's a few other contenders in here, but I have a feeling Scott might be on one of those. So I won't say anything else until he has a chance to state his opinion.
All right. Well, when I see the fastest horse in the race, a three-turn race, marooned in the 11 hole, and he was actually wide in his last race too, and he ran a bang up race. So if he can repeat that, he'll be tough. But you know, I want to bet against a Bold Act, and I don't really like the post or the patterns of the other horses. So I like to look for a long shot with a good post and a good pattern. And that long shot is Lord Eddard Stark. He ran a marathon for the first time in his last race and won at 60-1. And trainer Orsino, after the last race, said this. This is from the Racing Forum. "I was happy he got a galloping trip, because in the morning, that's what the horse does all the time. He just gallops them to the into the ground. The riders always tell me the horse never gets tired. I couldn't wait to run him this far." And, you know, here he gets another good post. I think Reyes will keep him, giving him a rail-hugging trip. He really didn't start running on turf until this year. He ran one or two races, but they were clunker races. I think he has a little upside. I think he can improve off that last race. He looked fantastic in the last one. He just has to get that trip, but that's my play. Lord Eddard Stark, 30-1.
Isn't he the horse that got you your NHC?
Yeah, I was going to bet any amount of money that that would be Scott's play in this race. I would have taken.
Yeah, that was your horse. 60-1. Nice.
Yes, that was my
horse.
That
was a hell of a handicapping that you pulled off there, boy. That was great.
Well, you know, he might be 60-1 in this race. You know,
he will be.
The main difference is, you know, so he beat Utah Beach, who was a heavy favorite in that race. He was getting 4 pounds from that horse. So he won the race, but he ran a slower number because he had a rail hugging trip, and Utah Beach was like 2 wide, maybe a little 3 wide sometimes. So I think that same thing can happen. And I think he doesn't have to run the best number in the race to win the race, because it's going to be such a tricky, a trip for all those horses on the outside. So, so I'm taking a chance that this horse just loves marathons.
Sorry. Go ahead, Chris. All right.
I was going to say, if it was a 2-mile race, I'd give him a better chance, because he may be galloping while the others are, you know, sucking wind. But it's cutting back to 1.5 miles here. So he's going to have to hope that they all hit the wall a little earlier than they did last time. But you're going to get at least 30-1. I don't think you have to worry about that. That horse is going to be a huge price.
I'm not worried. He might go off at 25-1. I think he's going to be fine. but I will use Limited Liability. Now, Limited Liability looks pretty good, but he did just run 2 bang-up races. And sometimes horses, when they run 2 in a row like that, they bounce in the third race. So that's why I didn't feel comfortable, especially at 3-1. I didn't feel comfortable backing him, but I'll use him.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about Bold Act from the 11 hole, he's a drop back horse anyway, and he's got arguably the best rider in the world. One of the top few, especially in turf routes, that knows how to work a trip on a horse like this. And this is a horse that's kind of a tricky horse to ride, and he hasn't ridden him at all in a long time. Last time he rode him, the horse won. In fact, I think most all of his lifetime wins were with Buick riding. So You know, I think if he had been on this horse for his last few, he probably would have won those races. He would have gotten better trips than he did. So don't underestimate in a race like this the value of the rider when, you know, he can ride circles around most of these riders in this kind of race. So, and given the style of the horse, I think the post is not a big deal. I just would factor that in. Don't just auto toss the horse because it's from the 11 hole. You got to think about the running style and the rider too when you kind of make that assessment. That's the one warning I'd make on it.
Yeah, and I'm not auto tossing him. I'm going to find some way to use him. But for example, I will not use him on the same ticket as Locked, for example. Like I want to use Locked.
Oh, you mean
you're
talking about Pick Five now? Is what you're talking about?
Yeah. I'm talking Pick Five. So
yeah,
so, Bulldog scares me.
Should use him. Yeah, and I'm not arguing that you necessarily should use him. Just that, got to be careful about, you know, when you look at post position and the impact on the horse's chances. You want to think about, you know, what's the likely pace scenario? What's the running heart style of the horse? Who's the rider? You know, you don't want to just blindly go, oh, outside post, you know, downgrade this horse. That's all I'm saying. Just because there's a tendency sometimes to look at a post position stat, say, and then just toss a horse because of it. And I think you got to be real careful about that. I did have another horse in here I was kind of liked. If you don't mind, I bring that one up, Scott.
Go for it. We're under no time constraint.
All right, so the 5-horse Anglophile, he's a lot like Utah Beach in that he's a newly turned 5-year-old by English Channel, the kind of horses that are going to just get better as they get older. They're still not, hasn't peaked. The question with him, he hasn't been out in a while. So, you know, I'd be a little more excited about him if he wasn't coming off the layoff. But he's not a bad horse at all. And you know, I think his best efforts definitely would give him a chance. I think he was in this race last year and ran pretty well despite a not great trip. So I don't know about winning it, but I could use him in exotics if you were playing, you know, verticals in this race, the 5-horse Anglophile.
Yeah, I have about 6 horses that I'm considering using, and that is one of them. You know, I was, I was hoping that I'd get a little input from you guys, and that's some input I think that we can use. another horse that also kind of interests me is, California Frolic. Now I know he'd be a bomb, but you know, he won 3 races ago and now he's circling back to that number, and you know, he's got a good post. So at, I think he's also 20-1. I think I want to use him as well.
Yeah, he'll probably be well above 20-1, be my guess at post.
He's cutting back to he's cutting back from 2 2-mile races to the last distance that he won at, which was a mile. And he closed into a slow pace.
Yeah. They're not world beaters in here, I can tell you that. You know, even Appleby's horse is only, the best he's ever run was a grade 2, and he never won it. No, he did win the one in Dubai, but in the U.S., his best was 3rd in a grade 2. So like I said, they're not world beaters here, but I kind of like what you guys are saying here, but I have one that we haven't mentioned either, that as a price, because my 2 horses would be the 1 and the 11, but Maker's got 2 horses in here, the 3 and the 8, and I think the 3 fits this really good. It looks like they quit him on the turf, but they went to Laurel. The race was taken off the turf and they brought him back here to Gulfstream, and there was no turf racing till I think the end of December, because they brought the new course. So he ran them in November on the Poly, ran good, won, and then they figured I'm going to leave him on the Poly. But I think if you go back to the Churchill and the Laurel turf races, this horse could have a big shot at a price. And he's very good at Gulfstream. He's 2 wins, 2 seconds out of 7 starts. And he loves the distance. He's 3 and 1 out of 7. So he could be the one.
Wait, which horse are you talking about? Price. Are you talking about which
he's number talking about eight?
Yamato.
Yeah. Number eight. Yamato. He meant the 8. Yeah. Yeah.
The 3. He's got 2 horses, the 3 and the 8 acre. So, yeah. So I would, that would be kind of my price horse. But I'm definitely going to be keying on the 1 in this race.
I say Yamato. Yeah.
Yamato. Okay.
Good. Yamato?
Okay. Yamada, Yamato.
Oh, it is. Tomato, Yamada. Yamato. Okay. Wait till the next race. If you can pronounce this one, I got a good one for you the next race to pronounce, Scott.
I don't know you are.
Tomato,
but I, that long shot to me makes a lot more sense than the ones that Scott likes. Of the, to me, that horse Yamato is, it's maker going long on the turf. It's going to be the first time he's actually run the horse long on the turf. Really dangerous, I think. So, you know, I don't know if it's good enough to win, but it's probably going to run a pretty good race.
He win going long, 1.5 miles on the turf. That's what I like about it. And I like people who are wondering, why did he go to Poly and or Topeka? And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why the turf course wasn't going here till the end of November. Anyways.
Well, and he's run well.
We've got some nice numbers here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to say that Yamato, he was in my list of 6 additional horses to consider. So,
well, good. You should take an all. I think
I might have to take an all. Jesus.
Yeah, it's my buddy Lori says if you like 5 horses, then you can't play 5. You got to take an all. Because one of them will bite you that you didn't put in. Anyways.
Every horse you guys have mentioned, I have as my consider list. But I don't know if I'll be able to use them all.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky because, you know, the 2 horses that Ray talked about initially, the 2 favorites, I think they are legitimately better than these other horses. Doesn't mean they're going to win. But you could end up chalking out in a race you spread, which is just the worst thing to do. To me, usually you got to take a stand one way or the other, not do the whole do it all, but in a pick 5, I wouldn't spread too much in here if you're going to be using the 1 and the 11, because they're going to be fairly short. I think you'll get plenty of prices on the others for sure, but you know, if you play an all, which I'm not saying Scott's not going to do that, but even if you start playing 5 or 6, that's a lot of money you're burning on this race, and you can end up with the 8 to 5 chalk.
So. Indeed. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be a bold win. Bold act 1.
It wouldn't be a bold act.
It's a bold bet you're going to make.
and it wouldn't be that limited of a liability. It'd be a pretty high liability. So. All right, we better move on before the puns get even worse.
All right, let's get out of that 9th race and get on to the 10th. It's the Pegasus World Cup, mm-hmm. Filly and Mare, Turf Invitational Stakes, sponsored by somebody. Grade 2, mile and a 16th turf race. Purse of $500,000. I don't know why that other one was only 215,000 and this one's $500,000. Anyway, fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Chris, your turn to get us started.
Yeah, another easy race. This one to me is a lot more wide open than the last one in that the favorites, like in the last one, I thought the 2 favorites really were better than the rest. In this race, you know, I don't think anybody stands out. It's really wide open. So this is tough. I'm always favoring the Euro horses with the Euro or foreign connections anyway in these races. There's three or four of those in here, all either making their first or second start in the U.S. Probably the winner is going to come out of one of those four. It's all about price. It's hard to predict how this race is going to get bet. But so this one, in terms of betting, I probably will bet this race. I just am not sure which horse yet. But for purposes of the pod in advance, what horse would I play? I'll say the 11 horse, Bless My Stars, who's making its second start in the U.S. It's one of these South African horses that we're starting to see more of and typically run pretty well over here. It last was clearly a prep for this race, and it ran pretty well. Kind of had a no-chance trip. Never really got into the race, but it still finished up pretty well, and it's probably what it needed, and having to come from South Africa. That's a pretty demanding ship in quarantine and everything, different hemisphere, all that stuff. And I think it should be sitting on a good race here. It's going to drop back, so it needs some racing luck. One thing I'll note is supposedly, according to DRF, the 9-horse Ocean Club is out, which means the 13-horse In Our Time will draw in, which I think is significant because that horse has quite a bit of speed and it drew an outside post. Mm. So that's likely to have a big impact on the early pace and make it a little more likely to be at least an honest pace, which I think will help the 11 horse. So at 8-1, it's playable, but I'm not super excited. If it drops down below that, that would not be my play. But for now, I'll just assume it will go off at the morning line and say the 11 horse, Bless My Stars, will be the one that I would play. But there are several others in here that I am going to consider, certainly including in other bets and possibly as win plays.
Bless My Stars, very wide in that last race, and still only lost by less than 2 lengths. Ray, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with what Chris was saying, that this is really tough because, as you can see, the favorite is 4-1 in the morning line. And that means that they don't even know. There's nothing that's standing out, I should say. But saying that, number one, and I don't know how to pronounce that, Scott, is it Ragia?
Rakia.
Rakia would be my top choice. Again, this horse ran really well in his first start at Del Mar on the lead. I like that the Tory's back on it again. I really like that Pletcher has taken over the duties, and his workouts are, to me, up at Palm Beach Downs, pretty quick for being up there. And unfortunately, I'm not normally a chalk guy, but I'm giving you two favorites in a row. But I just think this horse in this field should run pretty good.
I like that horse. In fact, that was my first pick. But then I said, geez, at 4-1 when B or Best is 6-1, and I don't know if it'll end out being that way, but I was like, I like those two, and I like B or Best better at that price. I love that last race. She doesn't have to have the lead. She drops 5 pounds from the last race. She's hitting on all cylinders right now. They're pretty even. It's an evenly matched field, but Bless Your Stars, who I also like, is way out there, and she's going to have to overcome that post. And Be Your Best. If Be Your Best is 6-1, I mean, I want all of that. And she's 2 for 3 at the distance and 1 for 1 at Gulfstream. That's my pick, but Be Your Best and Rakia, two pretty strong plays for me.
Yeah, I made a nice score on Rakia in her last start. That was, I think, a softer field. And, you know, this one's tougher. But, you know, she gets the trip she got last time. They're not going to catch her. If they let her gallop around there slow early, she's going to finish the race off. So that's why I'm kind of hoping the 13 drawing in will make sure that doesn't happen. But I think that horse is going to be a handful if it's a lone lead for sure. So I'm concerned about that one. I have a feeling that horse is going to get bet down below 4 to 1. I mean, that is a tepid favorite, but I just have a feeling everyone's going to gravitate towards that horse, but we'll see. So that was my only knock on that one was the price.
By the way, the 12 is also supposed to be scratching. So that brings in the 14 as well. Not that the horse is a big contender, but just for the listeners.
There's two speed horses going out or up,
yeah,
you know,
but a
forward horses.
One coming in, though. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I might hurt the one a bit. I didn't handicap him before. He's got to go. It's only, the only thing he knows what to do is to leave. You know, the 10 post twice. He was second out of the first call. So that could change the outcome of the race, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got to figure they'll send, but you never know.
The 14 likes.
Yeah.
He's forward too.
Yeah, not as much speed, but wants to be further up, yeah, closer up. Mm-hmm. So you think they would have to hustle him out early in this race. Mm-hmm. Just so again on Bless My Stars post, he's got Irad, who's pretty good. It's a drop back horse with a rider that likes to save ground. So again, I don't know if the post is that big a deal. Or at least it's not.
Well,
the
watch
same
that event. Last race and tell me how much Irad saved.
Yeah, but like I said, I think that was more of a prep that they just thought, you know, this is just to get a race under her belt and get her ready for this one. So they just kept her out of trouble, then make sure she didn't get hurt or anything, and just let her finish it up. So to me, there was no sense of urgency at any point. From Irad, I just don't think they cared if they won that race or not. This is the one they were targeting, you know, the one with the big purse and more prestige. So, you know, I think you got to factor that in too. But there were two other horses in here I thought were real interesting. The 6, Dona Clota, and the 7, Manushka. The 7, Manushka is probably the one I like a little better because it has won some starts in the U.S. Its debut at Keeneland, it was kind of sensational. It to me looked like a potential star, and then it kind of didn't get the best of trips last time, but it was a little disappointing. But to me, just what it showed in that U.S. debut at Keeneland, if it runs back to that, it could win. And because it got comes in off a little bit of a dull effort, you're going to get a much bigger price than you would have if it had come in off of a really good race. So to me, that horse could be the play, especially if it's double-digit odds. And then Dona Clota, she's from South America, and I watched her replays, and this horse can really kick it in late. And she's one of her races, man, she was caught in traffic, and she had to kind of weave her way through, and then when she finally hit daylight, she was gone. So I think there's a lot of talent there. It's just, I don't know about a horse coming from South America right off the plane with, you know, without really a significant break or acclimation period. And plus, she seemed to be better as the distances got longer, you know, like a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. So I think she could be a really good horse at some point, maybe going longer once she's gotten used to the American racing. But she might be so talented she could run a big one in here too. I do think it's kind of an aggressive spot. But if she were to go float up above her morning line of 15 to 1, I'd definitely be including her in bets. I could maybe even bet her to win if she starts floating up above that. Because to me, both those two horses, you know what you're getting with the U.S. horses. None of them are great. But, you know, those two both have potential to run, you know, really, it could be future stars. So that, you know, I'm always looking for the upside in the price.
I did
marked my sheet, and I think I'm like Scott the race before. I now have six horses I like, or maybe more, because we haven't even got to the one I like for a price play yet. But just one thing about your seven horse, Chris, that you mentioned. I was watching the races yesterday, and TVG, they mentioned they're schooling a lot of these horses, and this horse was schooling, and they said this horse looked fantastic. So I made a note on my sheet, and Brendan Walsh and Tyler Gaglione are a hot, hot combo. So I agree. This horse could be an up and comer over here, but the horse,
well, it's great that they liked the way she looked. I just hate the fact that they're saying that on TVG. That's probably not good for the price.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people are listening to these guys, you know. This is in between races. They're just walking around. So a lot of people watch them and probably, you know, get a copy or whatever and do their thing and then come back for the race. But I just happened to hear it and I went, oh, well, I got to check this out. So that could be a real nice pick and it'll be a nice price. But the horse that I like is one of my favorite turf horses for the last year. And this started back last year in February when this horse won at Gulfstream, an optional 75, number 2 Pounce, who then went on what's the day, the big day, Scott? I just lost it. That you're coming to the races
Derby?
That day here. No.
For the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, the Fountain of Youth Day, where this horse won compliant on the outside and in a really good, fast time. And then it has won again in Saratoga, which is a hard thing to do. And his last start, I think the horse is starting to come around again, finish a good second, and it actually... with Ferrand Giroux on it at a big price. And I love the fact that Cassie brought Dylan Davis down here to Gulfstream to ride all his horses. So I think this horse could have a big shot at 15-1.
Pounce definitely
two plays.
One of the horses that I'm like, if I can possibly use Pounce, I will try. just a note on DRF workout reports. Rakia gets all B pluses and Be Your Best B plus in her last race. And those are the only really notable ones.
Mm-hmm. That's probably another reason.
That's a great race. This is a great race because, like, you know, we said 4-1 is the morning line favorite. And with these two new ones coming in, this is such a wide open race. Look at Fluffy Socks. This horse was supposed to be one of the top fillies on the turf, and it just doesn't know how to win, but it always makes a run, you know. And it's Chad Brown. He keeps firing her back, coming off a big layoff, but well, not that big. But this is, you can make a case for probably all of these horses.
Yeah, it'll be the trip that'll make the difference. If Rakia gets loose,
exactly.
She's gone.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody gets a pocket trip and gets first run, they'll probably win. If they go fast early and someone can work a trip from behind, they'll probably, you know, out finish.
That would
them
be
all.
Your horse.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
That horse is going to come. That horse is coming late, boy. The 11? Oh, yeah.
Big yeah, time. And Manushka, same thing. They're both going to be, you know, pretty far back early.
But, and I think now with the addition of 13 you mentioned, there's going to be some, you know, speed up front. I don't think they're going to go 23-47. I think they might
a little quicker. But it's, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely using Bless My Stars. You make a good point, Chris, that they weren't trying to win that last race. And that's why Irad didn't save any ground. He will probably drop in and, you know, at least save some ground on the first turn. He should be able to. So so I think that that's a pretty strong third choice, a third horse to have. And I'm still on the fence with Donna Clota.
Yeah, she's more of a price play because, you know, she's a wild card. Put it that way. She's got talent. Just this might not be the time and the place and the distance for her to show it. But she might, you don't really know, you know, it's a big question mark.
A great trainer.
Yeah, yeah, the trainer said, we hope that for
guy
a big...
can, that guy can train. He had my horse I loved last year with you guys, Didia. Unfortunately, she had to go retire. Got hurt.
She didn't go on.
Something happened. I thought she'd be in the Pegasus, the 11th, 12th race, but something, she got hurt or something, so she's finished, fortunately.
I did get to see, she did have one local workout. She looked pretty good. It looked like she was doing okay. I mean, I thought she looked good in her workout. It's a big ask to come, going from the Southern Hemisphere to the Northern Hemisphere and, you know, take on horses in a race like this at probably not her ideal distance. So, but she's got talent and you never know. Yeah. Talent can overcome a lot of obstacles.
Well, I like the quote. Krius said, we hope for a big year from her. My theory is you can run them off the plane or give them the time. We're going to try off the plane. It's doable. I just don't know if it's ideal or not.
That's pretty much how I feel too. I mean, it's a question mark. It could go either way. And if you get a big price, it's probably worth asking the question.
Okay, let's move to the 11th race. It's the Inside Information, grade 2, 7 furlongs on dirt, purse of $215,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Ray, your turn to get us going.
I thought it was your turn. Sorry. Okay. you don't want to go first. Okay. No. You're the leader. Sorry. That's okay. I'm just kidding. Anyways, this race here, looking at it, again, looks chalky to me. The 2 and the 9, if they're coming to run tomorrow, they can be very tough. But I've come onto a horse. I don't know if I'm going to get these odds on it, but my pick would be number 6, Jody's Pride. She's got great works coming back after a short layoff. If she could ever run back to that BC juvenile turf race where she just got beat a neck to Just FI, who's one of the top 3-year-olds. She regressed in the Ashland, tough field, tough race, and then they tried her on turf and then laid her up for a couple of months. I like this trainer. He's pretty sharp, and with Louie on him, you know, he'll be forwardly placed, and that Mystic Lake will be the other favorite. But I kind of give this 6-horse Jody's Pride my play for this race.
I like it. That's a ballsy pick. Ran fast as a 2-year-old, ran pretty fast as a young 3-year-old, and has won turf race since then. And you can toss that. So I like the way of thinking there. Chris, where are you at?
Yeah, Ray and I are real similar. Jody's Pride, that's a heartbreaking memory because on this pod, I touted her in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies race. She had never gone farther than 6 furlongs, but I really liked her in that spot. I played her in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, and she just couldn't quite win that race. Got beat a neck. That hurt. I didn't have the exact. I didn't like Just FYI in that race, and she ran better than I expected. I had her all over the boxed heavily with Candide, who ran third and had a horrific trip in that race as well. That brings back really bad memories. But she was a good horse, and I agree with everything Ray said. You know, she, you never know how they're going to develop, especially the fillies, but she could be, she could run a big race. She's the one wild card in here. But the two horses he mentioned, 2 and 9, are really good. I mean, they need, you know, Nick Stiles never lost on a fast track, and
neither is Emery.
Either is Emery, and her only loss to Nick Stiles was a second on a sloppy track to Ways and Means, and Emery's never lost on a fast track. Never lost on a fast track, except, and then her only sprint loss was on a muddy track to Ways and Means. So to me, these horses are, and they kind of run the same numbers. The only difference is, you know, one of them's trained by Brad Cox and the other one's trained by Bill Mott. But I mean, it's not like neither one of those guys can train. So I would think those horses ought to be kind of at the same price. And if you're really going to get a better price, and it seems like you might on Nick Stiles than you're going to get on Emery, then I would have to kind of go with Nick Stiles in here. If I can get 5 to 1 on that horse, I think there's a lot of value in that. Now, maybe he won't be 5-1, but they, you know, Mystic Lake, I don't think it's going to be the favorite. It's on favor on the morning line. I think it'll be third choice. But I mean, if they really bet Emery down, like it seems like people want to do, and like the horse has been bet in the past, maybe you get that 5-1 or something close to Nick Stiles. But so that's the way I'd go. But Jody's Pride, if that, you know, if Nick Stiles got bet down and Jody's Pride floated up above that 8-1, then I could see myself playing that one. But those are the two that I'm interested in a value standpoint. I definitely respect Emery. You know, I could see the case for Mystic Lake. I just think that one's a notch below Nick Stiles and Emery. But I do have a feeling, unless Jody's Pride wins, it's going to be pretty chalky in here.
Yeah, you know, Nick Stiles at 5-1 is kind of a pipe dream. I mean, the horse has never been above 5-2. So, I mean, you know, maybe he's 3-1. She's 3-1. I have a hard time believing that the horse will be as high as 5-1. But there are a bunch of horses in here that they're going to get played. You know, the horse I'm sort of interested in. First of all, I, for all reasons mentioned, my pick is Nick Stiles. But the other horse that I'm interested in is Olivia Darling, who's 4-1 morning line. I don't think she's gonna. She won this race last year. Maybe that's why they think she'll be 4-1. I don't see it coming off an optional claiming win. But that would be the other price horse that I think is an includable. But I would include I would go with Nick Stiles, Olivia Darling, and Emery as my three plays in the race.
Anything
yet? Yeah, you can't toss that trainer. Jordy Delgado brought a $98 horse in the first race today. You know, this guy can train, I'll tell you. He's good. I just didn't like the layoffs, you know. May, then he brought him back in July, one race, something not right about it, and then bring it back in November, optional 60. Well, you know, not world beaters there, but it did win. So, and then lays it off again for a couple more months. So,
yeah,
that just kind of bothered me a bit.
Working out good. Fast. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a mark on that January 11th workout. And you're right. You're going to get a price on this horse. And this guy, he's been starting to win races, Egan. Took him a while to get climatized here, but he's definitely starting to win. So, never afraid to bet him.
Yeah, I mean, second off the layoff, and horse ran pretty well off the bench, so no reason why it couldn't run a race. I don't know if it's good enough to beat like Nick Style and Emery, but you know, they might not run the race, or maybe it is better. A little, you know, maybe it improves enough to beat them in here.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, the one outstanding question that's worth a little talk is, do we think Mystic Lake, who is going to be pretty well bet, IRAD, just won at 3-5, do we include this horse or do we toss it? You know, to me, coming off a big number at 6 furlongs, on relatively short rest, I think the horse is a toss, but I want to see if you guys agree.
Well, I never had him in my ticket, but, you know, every time these big days come around, IRAD wins 4 or 5. He's just unbelievable. I know Chris had him in the last race on that 11 horse, but this guy, he's just heads above everybody else, and especially with Pratt not being here, he should probably dominate. And it's a tough one to leave him off your ticket, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the horse wins, but I think I would prefer Nick Style and Emery. So I would never use all three, and Mystic Lake would have to be the one I would eliminate first. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if the horse wins. And I think the only reason they made it morning line favorite is because IRAD and Safi. So if this was like a normal day at Gulfstream, the horse probably would be favored off those connections. But, you know, it's not the normal day, and I think that they overrated the connections a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will. But I just can't believe that horse will be favored over Emery. That would shock me.
Yeah, I would say Emery, then maybe Mystic Lake. You know, Mystic Lake has a grade 2 win at the distance, is 3-4 at the distance, coming off a win. So I can see why they made the horse as low as 2-1.
But second choice, probably, I would think it's not going to be shorter price than Emery. But they both, that's why I'm thinking maybe you do get a decent price on Nick Style. If they do bet Mystic Lake, you know they're going to bet Emery. They can't, you know, so right away you might get that 5-1, you know, if that's the way they play it.
That's for sure.
I'm not sure.
I agree.
Okay, well, let's go to the 12th race. It's the Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational. Grade 1, 1 1/8 on turf. Purse of $1 million for 4-year-olds and up. Chris, what are you thinking?
Yeah, another one of these wide open races where trips will probably determine it. You know, it doesn't seem like Nation's Pride plays over this field. He's a good horse, and he's, you know, got the right connections and everything. But we'll know by now, by this race, we'll know. You know, if Appleby's been, his horses are running lights out and winning in the prior races, you'll know it by this race. And if that's true, this horse could get, you know, bet down to a real short price. But assuming that's not the case, you know, I might be willing to try to beat this horse. You know, he probably is a little better than the others, but not that much. And there's a horse I like quite a bit in here, and that's the horse right outside of him, the 8-horse Spirit of St. Louis. I've always liked this horse. You know, he's not going to get a lot of respect because he's been running against New York breds, but he's been running really well. And, you know, the fact Chad Brown puts him in this race where he could, like, just rest him up for the New York bred races, you know, in the spring in New York. Tells me, you know, he thinks maybe, you know, this horse is good enough to win in here. I think he's good enough to win in. He's got kind of a versatile running style. He's got a good rider. Not a great post, but not a terrible post. So, you know, if you can get, he's not going to be 20 to one. That's just a bad morning line, but he could be double digit odds. And for me, you know, I think he's better than the other U.S. horses, or as good anyway. So that's the price play for me. Probably the value play in the sequence for me is the 8 Spirit of St. Louis.
I definitely like that horse. And, you know, if the turf course is off a little bit, I note that the horse has a couple of wins on good and yielding, always runs well on an off course. So that's another reason to give him some serious consideration. Ray, what are you thinking?
Well, the word I wrote down on the top of my sheet here on this race was the speed. I don't think there's any speed in this race other than the 10 horse Battle of Normandy at 20 to 1. I'm not sure, but this horse is coming off 4 wins, and there's no way this horse is going to be 20 to 1. He's been favored 3 of the last 4 starts. He's not one of my picks, but I think I'm going to use him. He's not my top pick, I should say, but I cannot find the speed. I'm racking my brains out on this one, but he looks like he'll get to the lead, and they'll all follow along, and hopefully the horse that I like will get a nice trip. And the horse I like is number 4 Win for the Money, another Mark Cassie Dylan Davis combo. I like the fact this horse won the Woodbine Mile, which is one of the best races back home for horses. That's a big day of racing, and this horse got a great buyer. And at Gulfstream, got 102 buyer in May. So this horse, if he can get the right trip, and I know Dylan was on him last time, he just gave it up late, but I really like this horse tomorrow.
All right. Well, my pick is actually Battle of Normandy. And for the same reason that you stated, Ray, I don't know if he'll be on the lead. He was near the lead in his last race. He was eager. He had to be restrained. He wanted to run, and Machado kept him, you know, had to restrain him. But it was a perfect trip. He won easily. He galloped out fine. Gigante came back to win after that race. He is 4 for his last 4. I like him, and I just get the feeling that they're going to let him go. I think he'll be a pretty good price. And they're going to let him go. And I can see him continuing to stay ahead while the other horses just grasp and try to catch him. So he's a little slower than these on speed figures, but I think he might be able to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, I think he absolutely fits. I think the post won't be an issue for the reason you guys said. There's not a lot of speed. And it seems like, you know, if they're aggressive with him, they can get over. And speed ratings, you know, he's been in these slow-paced races, so I think that affects it. The negative I have on him, and it's probably not a valid one, but I'm just trying to remember the last time that he won, you know, a big race. And the last horse I can think of was like Code of Honor, and I don't even know if he even won a big race. Did he? You know, I just can't remember. It seems like he might be, you know, running out of the game might be passing by a little bit, or maybe I'm
He's been winning some good races.
I don't remember the
he's
last
been
time
winning
he won.
Down
what
here.
Was the last,
yeah.
He's been what was the last races. Time he won a big race?
Define big.
Like a grade one race, on a big day, kind of like I'm struggling, but maybe. Anyway, I just not sure about that, but I think the horse is pretty good. If you get 20 to 1, which is like Ray said, a horse hasn't been above 5-2 in, you know, a year. I don't know if you're going to get 20-1, but this is a tougher field than he's been running against. He has been running, you know, in allowance races, and a group grade three is, you know, the toughest company, but he certainly fits. I wouldn't talk anybody out of playing that one. The one thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to say about Spirit St. Louis, the horse did step out of, New York bred company at Keeneland two races back in a great, you know, the grade one at Keeneland. And, you know, that race, first of all, you know, Carl Spackler, more than looks, that was a pretty good field. And he didn't get trounced or anything, but that he got banged really hard on the first turn and just pushed way wide and pretty much lost all chance right at that point in the race. Kind of had to get hustled after that, really burned a lot of fuel on that first turn. So, you know, even though it looks like he didn't quite class up, I would give him a pass on that one. And I, plus, you know, more than looks would be, you know, the favorite here, and Carl Spackler would probably be the second favorite if they were in this race. So just, I want to point that out. You know, you might look at that and say, well, that one time he didn't run against New York Breds, he didn't run that well. I think you got to go back and watch that race, and it wasn't as bad as you might think. I just want to point that out.
Well, for the record,
that's a good point. Yeah.
For the record, I'm going to use both of your horses. I like Spirit of St. Louis, and I like Win for the Money. I like them both. I'm going a little deep in this race. I just put Battle Normandy on top because he's 20-1, and I think he has a speed advantage. In the last year, Shug is 4-38 in graded stakes with a 151 ROI. So he hasn't been that great, but, you know, he won.
Were any of those grade ones? Or any of grade
two wins? No.
Any grade two wins?
Integration, the Red Smith, and Fort Washington, the Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Yeah. So they're both in this race. Fort Washington's going to get in because I forgot to mention the one horse Siege of Boston will scratch, according to some DRF article I read. So the one is out. So everybody moves in a slot. And the 13 will get a chance to run. He probably deserved to be in the race anyway. He's a pretty good horse. He's not impossible at all. To me, you can make a similar case for him as you made with Battle Normandy, and that's the other Shug horse in here. But, and he's probably going to be a giant
prize. He's got three now.
That's right, with Integration as well. So, and we didn't mention Integration, Major Dude, Nation's Pride, all could win this too, right? So,
you haven't mentioned any of the best horses in the field yet. Yeah. I know we haven't. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, what do you guys think about Integration?
Oh, shit. Look at those 4 100 plus buyers, you know. Show me somebody else that has that on their sheets. Like, this is a live horse. And Major Dude, his last start, he found a hole. This horse exploded when he found the daylight. I don't know. It's all another race of trip. But and then Nation's Pride, Appleby coming over with this, or coming back with this horse. I don't know where he went to run in that big
ball rain,
whatever it was, wherever it is. But he's bringing this horse back who wins the Arlington Million and runs in a grade one and comes second. Like, a lot of these horses are like fill-ins, but, you know, it's a race, and the trip is going to be the main thing here. How about this three horse? This horse ran against Johannes, who's supposed to have come, and he would be one of the big favorites, but he got hurt, so they have to lay him off. This horse ran a big race to this horse last start, and Saez went to Santa Anita to ride this horse, or he was there and he got put on this. This is one great race. It should be for $1 million.
Yeah, you look at Nation's Pride. He's won 10 out of 19. And he's ran in Ball Rain twice and just run poorly both times. But the other races, you know, he's either won. He beat Integration pretty easily in the Arlington Million. He lost to a stablemate Measured Time before that. He lost to a stablemate Silver Knot before that. You know, then he won at Woodbine, and he won in Germany. I mean, other than his stablemates, and as long as he doesn't run in Bahrain, he can't lose. So maybe I'm underrating this horse. He is pretty good now that I look at that. His last race was really bad, but he ran pretty bad in the same exact race last year, and he came over and ran pretty well in the U.S. He lost to his stablemates a couple times, but once he got in a race without a stablemate to beat him, he won. So,
and you know, Buick is here Applebee, for this.
Yeah, and Buick is riding him here. And the last time Buick rode this horse was at, you know, the last two times he's ridden him in the U.S., last three times he's ridden him in the U.S., he's won. He won at Keeneland. He won at Woodbine, or in North America. He won at Woodbine, and he won at Colonial. So it doesn't matter where he rides him, as long as it's Buick's riding him, and he doesn't have a stablemate that can beat him. He's pretty, and he's not running in Bahrain. And all those conditions are met here. He's unbeatable. So now I'm starting to think maybe I bump this guy's chances up a little. Yeah,
I think so.
He's single up.
He might be a notch above. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think, yeah, I might just, the way to play this might be play the horse I like, or the one you like, you know, Battle with Normandy, or Win for the Money you guys like. I like Spirit of St. Louis. Play them, save under Nation's Pride. Might be the way to play it, because now I'm looking at this horse is pretty good. He's consistently good. He never runs a bad race, especially with this rider, and in North America. Because I remember he sort of made a name for himself when he came over for the first time, and you know, they have that, they used to have those like $1 million races for 3-year-olds in New York. They finally cut the purses, I think, last year. But he came over and he won like the Saratoga Derby and the Jockey Club Derby, you know, and those were each like $1 million races. So he definitely comes over and you know, handles U.S. racing really well.
Okay, let's move to the big event. It's the Pegasus World Cup, a mile and an eighth, purse of $3 million for 4-year-olds and up. And Ray, who you got?
I have, this race here. Unfortunately, I got to see how the track's playing. But to me, if the track's playing speedy, I read a stat the other day that no horse has been on the lead at the top of the lane in the Pegasus history or whatever the last 10 years has been beaten. Last year, Senior Buscador almost came and caught National Treasure, but it just seems like the speed just keeps going. So this race here, I unfortunately found it a little bit chalky, but I do have one horse as a price. But my main play would be number 2, Saudi Crown. This horse, he only knows one way to go, and that's where he's going tomorrow.
Saudi Crown coming off a big number at Fairgrounds. Will he react to it, or will he repeat, Chris?
I think we had this discussion back when Nick Sko was running in the Breeders' Cup a few years ago. About and I was saying, if it's trained by Brad Cox, don't count on it to react. And you were kind of arguing the opposite, but that was several years ago. So, but since it's trained
but
by
it was
Brad
true
Cox,
the horse I mean, he aired
yes,
that day.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I would not count on horse reacting. I do think there's like only 3 horses that can win this race with any kind of probability. And, you know, Saudi Crown is the one who has the tactical edge. And for the reasons that Ray stated, I would probably give him the nod. I don't think he's going to be anywhere near 9-2. That's another really bad morning line. I'm guessing he'll be favored, although Locked might be favored. Locked is sort of the up-and-comer that, you know, the kind with upside and a good future in front of him if he stays healthy. But, you know, he drew an outside post, and his running style, he's not super quick. You got to kind of like pedal on him start to finish. He's going to have to be really good to win this race, I think. He's probably going to have to give up some ground. And so, you know, between those two, I would favor Saudi Crown. And then the other one, sort of the class horse, Wide of Barrio, who, you know, if he runs back to his best races, could win. Question mark is, will he? I didn't really like his last race. I thought he couldn't lose that race, and he somehow did. I thought even a C effort would win that. You know, they were certainly targeting this race all along, so he might run big. But those are the three. But I would kind of put them in that order of probability, and none of them, I think, are going to be a playable price. So I don't like this race from a betting standpoint at all. But if I have to make I'll make a pick here. It won't be a play. It would be the two-horse Saudi Crown.
Okay, well, I'm gonna take a little chance here.
No Triactor? Come on. Okay. I can't remember what you call it when we all pick the same horse.
A triple barrel.
You have a saying. A triple barrel, that's a song. Not a Triactor, but a triple barrel. I was hoping you were going to say that. But no triple barrel today. Okay. Sorry.
So I was looking for a horse that has run fast enough to win, but is not coming off a big effort. And I think the horse that I landed on is Croupy. He ran a huge number in the mud 3 races ago at Saratoga. He reacted to his next, and then he had a nightmare trip in the Clark where he scraped the gate. Then he got mauled in the stretch. Now, he wasn't going to win that race, but he ran well enough considering, all things considering, that I think that he that race was better than it looks. And, you know, given that he's had nice freshening since then, he looks to me like the likeliest to get to his best effort, especially being by Curlin out of a Malibu Moon mare. So I'm going to take a chance with Croupy. I have another price, but since you guys both went with Saudi Crown, maybe you're not going to like my other price.
Well, Croupy to me makes a lot of sense underneath, but with his running style at, you know, Gulfstream in a race without a lot of speed, in fact, there's not really any speed outside of Saudi Crown. I just don't see how he could possibly win. I don't see the trip that wins it for him, but I could certainly use him, you know, underneath at a price. And I watched his workouts with Locked, and Locked looked better, but not that much. So I wouldn't talk you out of playing him. But to win, it seems like that's a bit of a stretch in here for me.
And Ray's still speechless.
I agree. I agree with Croupy. You know, who's going to pick up the pieces? My main two horses are the 2 and the 4, Saudi Crowns and White of Burial. And there was one horse, actually probably two, that I'm going to play underneath of Saudi's Crown and use him in second. If I get there, if I have any money left in the contest, which I hope I do. But there's a horse that intrigues me. He looked great, too, in the Walking Ring yesterday, is the 6 horse, Stronghold. This horse has only run one bad race that I can see, and I've watched him run a lot out in California, and he's moved around the parks everywhere, and he got beat in the Derby pretty good. But other than that, the horse, he's never been worse than second. And Phil D'Amato is a good trainer. This guy, Frezu, is tearing it up in California. And as an outsider, he looks like he wants to be forward. He should be close to the pace. And I don't know if you'll get 10 to 1 or on this horse, but, you know, 8 to 1 or more would definitely get my attention with the other two. And that's it. That's, and Skippy Longstocking, he's just a sappy Joseph. This horse has got like all these 100 plus buyers. The horse, if he can stay behind Saudi Crown and not tackle him, then this horse could be around at the end, but he's a horse that you just never know who's showing up. So anyways,
well,
my main picks are 2, 4, and 6.
Okay,
so, but 2, 4 would be the big play for me.
Skippy Longstocking is my other play. I think he was ridiculously wide in his last race, which was the BC Dirt Mile. He's getting good workout reports. He fires a good number every once in a while, like a number that could potentially win this. And I think, you know, there isn't that much speed. I think he will be. Okay. There's a good chance he'll be second to Saudi Crown. And, you know, if he's ready, so supposedly there's not a direct quote, but the Daily Racing Forum said that that the trainer really likes his chances here. So I think today may be the day to play Skippy Longstocking and, you know, 10 to 1. I like that. That's a decent price.
Well, so would you, if you were putting your money on Skippy, would you want him to be getting an aggressive ride from that post, or do you want him to try to take back? What would you prefer? Sounds like
I want them to be a little aggressive and try to save ground. You know, try to save ground. Not gun it like crazy, like he did last year. But yeah, I mean, he's got to be a little bit in it. I think if he can get up into second, even if he's three wide at on the first turn, I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, because I listened to an interview with Safi Joseph, and he said we are going to re-rate him. We're definitely not going to be sending him. And I thought that's the kiss of death, because he's going to be wide on both turns in this race too. If they don't send him, I don't think he has a chance. If they would send him, you know, not necessarily have to have the lead, but to make sure he gets over next to Saudi Crown into the first turn, I think he's got a chance. But if they're going to take back, he's going to get parked wide. And that's what he claims. You never know that if they're just.
Yeah, I think he's playing possum there.
It could be, but I'm just telling you what he said. You know, the reason he was wide in that last one, because he was stuck in an outside post at the Breeders' Cup.
But he was in the 13 hole. Yeah, he was in the 13 hole. So.
But
he was in the 13 hole.
The 10 hole is no better than the 13 hole where he was last time.
Yeah.
The 10 hole is no treat at this mile and an eighth. Now, it's an awful post. That's why I haven't got the 11 on my ticket. It's just almost impossible. You have to be tons the best. Tons the best.
Or just if Saudi Crown was in the 10 pole post, I wouldn't care. He's going to clear anything. Yeah. But, you know, Locked and Skippy Longstocking could get parked wide. And Locked might be good enough to overcome it. I don't think Skippy is. Skippy's a grade 3 horse, but, you know, none of these horses are monsters. But I'm just saying, to me, if he had drawn the rail or an inside post, I might be making it my play. But from that post, especially if, I just, you know, if they say they're not going to be aggressive, I don't see how he could possibly win. That's the negative
impossible.
On him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see.
I think
Stronghold was the one I wanted to like in here. You know, I touted him last time. But the frustrating thing about this horse is he is an incredible great gate horse. He always breaks on top. And then Frazee always strangles him back every single time. And I thought, in that 7 furlong race, since it was a sprint, they'd finally let him roll. And what did he do? He breaks on top and they strangled him back. It drove me nuts. And they just gave the race to, you know, I can't remember the
Joannis.
Just No, this was in the dirt, this was a seven furlong, before, okay, sorry, straight, no chaser or whatever. They just let him roll on the front end, and then he came late, but he had no chance to catch him. And now I'm thinking, well, you know, what are they going to do this time? Well, I'm almost sure they're going to strangle him. And I watched a workout. It was an orchestrated workout where they sat him behind two other horses, and they had him stay in behind them all the way around the turn until kind of a little bit into the stretch. And then they eased him out. So first of all, I said, okay, well, you know exactly what their plan is in this race. They're going to take him back, which is
just they're going to put a strong hold on him.
Yeah, they're going to put a strong hold on exactly.
Yeah, good one, Scott.
but this is even the more disappointing part. Part of it was just the fact that they telegraphed what their strategy is going to be. But then when he eased out, I expected him just to blow by. These were like cheap maiden claimers. And he didn't even cut into the lead. He didn't look good at all. So I you know, which tells me maybe he doesn't like being in behind horses, but he was so far behind him, I don't think it would really matter. So I just hated that workout. I hate the way that they tactically have been, you know, using this horse. And I just waiting for something someday where I think they might finally let him run early, because I think he's a much better horse than they've ever given him a chance to be. Now, it's true, you know, he's consistent, but you never get the best out of him, right? You know, I want to see them. Let's see how good this horse is. You know, let him use him a little bit early, put him in the race, and let's see if he has heart, you know, and can win a race, a big race. You know, why do you just, you know, hand it over to the horses that can give them that tactical advantage? So anyway, that was kind of a rant, but
that's a good point. That's a good point.
I really wanted to play that horse. I like that horse. Someday I'm going to be able to bet that horse, but it's not going to be in this race. Now, I probably put him in the winner's circle. They'll probably send him to the lead.
We got to get Frazu on a horse called Let Him Roll.
I'm saying Frazu's not a good rider. It's clearly he's riding to instructions. I just don't understand why they feel like, especially a horse that breaks so consistently quick. You know, it's a weapon. When you're that good out of the gate, it's a weapon. And they have totally, you know, taking the bullets out of the chamber and haven't been able to use that weapon of his ever to their advantage. It's just, boggling.
Maybe today's the day and there'll be a speed duel between him and Saudi Crown.
Yeah. And maybe he'll
unlikely, but still.
Yeah. Be cool. No, based on that workout, I'll be shocked if they don't grab him. And I won't be surprised at all if he breaks on the lead. I'll be shocked if they don't, you know, pull him back, wrangle him back.
All right. Well, let's move to the best value and most likely winner segment of the show. Ray, are you prepared?
The winner of our pick five, the best horse that we've talked about would be the number one, Limited Liability, for me. I really like that horse. And what was the other question?
So that's your most likely winner. And who do you think is your best value of the horses that you picked?
The best value would probably be Pounce.
All right, Chris, where are you?
For me, the best value is that the 8 Spirit of St. Louis in turf race, right? The feature turf race. And most likely winner, there's pretty close. I'll go with Bold Act just because of the connections and the rider and the fact that race is, to me, pretty weak. The one horse that might trip out and beat him would be one Limited Liability, the horse that Ray mentioned. So, but, you know, I'd say a Bold Act. There's some pretty strong. I think there is a chance this could chalk out. If Appleby has a good day, I think the dirt races look pretty chalky. So it could end up being a chalky sequence. But if Appleby doesn't have a good day or his horses have bad trips, you know, I think you could have some really big prices on those turf races.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to make my most likely winner and my best value be, assuming that she's as high as 6-1, be your best.
Wow, but double. Best value and most likely winner. That's good. I like that.
Well, definitely include her on my ticket because you made a good point about this horse. And looking at it a little closer, this horse is going to sit in a perfect trip.
Yeah, I'm still going to use Rakia just because she scares me. But I'll probably sit pretty with just those two in that race. Well, Bless My Stars is kind of scary too. So I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if I can make her my most likely winner.
Well, who would it be then?
Well, then probably Nick Style.
Yep.
All right, and plus, you know, we don't know what the turf condition is going to be. That could play into it. And we don't know if they're going to soup up the main track. That could impact things as well. So make sure you pay attention to the early races. By the time we get to this sequence, because it's a long card, you know, I think it doesn't start till the ninth race. Hopefully you'll have some idea kind of what condition we've got the turf courses in, and are they kicking up gigantic, you know, hunks of grass in the early races? Assuming that they run early races on the turf, and then on the dirt, you know, is everything on the front end? You know, Gulfstream's just naturally a front end favoring dirt course. So even if it's normal, it kind of favors speed, but sometimes it can get kind of really biased towards the front runners.
So real quick, because I'm running out of time here, any spot plays on the rest of the card? I do have one. That's why I want to make sure we do.
Well, why don't you go first, and then Ray can be thinking. What's yours, Scott?
So in the fifth race, Reef Runner slammed the gate in his last and was bumped significantly in the race before that, and both times was against the speed flow. Ran really well considering he slammed into the gate in his last race, and got third to Coppola, who will probably be the favorite. Reef Runner, who's also a bold upgrade on Racing Flow.
Yeah, I have a horse in that race. Actually two, but one, I think No Nay Hudson, if you get 10-1, is very good play in there, in that same race. And then last time when Coppola went wire to wire, Yes I Am Free was like, I don't know. It looked to me like the starter still had a hold of his head when the race started.
Yeah, and exactly.
His horse has to be on the front end, and it had no chance. I mean, it was broke dead last, which made it easy for Coppola to win, but it also made it impossible for Yes I Am Free to win. So, you know, I still think Yes I Am Free could outrun Coppola on the front end if the starter lets go of the bridle when they open the gate this time. So, I wouldn't, you know, he'll be a giant price, and I don't think he's as good as No Nay Hudson, but he could get the lead in the rail, and that 5 furlongs, it's always really dangerous at Gulfstream. So those two, I think, are interesting in that race. And with No Balls in that race and Coppola coming off the win, you know, you could get prices on all of the other horses, including Scott's, you know, the 11 Reef Runners. Just that's a tough post to win from, that 11 post there.
Well,
no question. The only way Coppola had its own way last time, you know, and just set the whole pace right around the track. Nobody came at it and won easy. I think a different story tomorrow, because you're right. That Yes I Free was, I think, last. And that horse wants to go to the front. But that's a tough race. I'm not a 5.5 furlong kind of guy. Very tough. So much trip. Holy smoly. You got that horse at Santa Anita? Wow.
Are you watching the race right now?
I'm in the NHC. I got a. Oh my God. Oh my God, 35 to 1, guys. I'm trying to get my NHC seat. Anyways. Okay. Right. Well, I'll tell you, my pick of the day would be early if they're on the turf and it's in the first race. So I'm praying it's going to be on the turf. I don't know. This horse might be able to run on the poly, but I kind of like the one horse at a price. He almost went down his last race around the turn. So down to his knees and he got him back up and then he wasn't going to win, but he ran a pretty good race. And I liked he's changing jockeys. I like Gonzalez and the trainer's okay. But he's in against a lot of first timers that are unknowns. But for a price, I give that horse a shot.
And from
I didn't
the
give
rail.
You the name, did I? Yeah.
That's
walking.
Yeah. Walking. Yeah. Walk on. I hope he's not walking out of the gate. But yeah. Anyways, yeah. So if they go on the turf, but that's one race that they could take off easily. And they've done it before on big days. So, but this horse might be able to run on the poly. If he likes the turf, they sometimes like the poly.
All right. Well, it's been great conversation. I would like to thank our guest, Ray mm-hmm. Arsenal. Ray, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys, and good luck tomorrow. I hope we all make some money.
That will conclude show number 307 of the Sport of Kings Pod. Good luck at Gulfstream and wherever else you may play. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.